Good morning. And happy Father's Day. When I was a little boy growing up, I went to a parochial school. The parish I grew up in had a grammar school, elementary school, and that's where I went. So I had religion class every day. And I remember growing up as a young boy, a lot of religion that I was taught was through the catechism. It's called the catechism. And it was a series of questions, and there were answers. And the challenge was we were asked to memorize the answers. Some of you may have grown up in that tradition. If you did, repeat after me. Where is God? God is everywhere. Who made you? God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him all the days of my life and in the world to come. Series of questions and answers. And I was pretty good at that, memorizing and responding. The wider message of that, though, was that there were questions and there were answers that the community of faith had formed and shaped and offered them to us. And they were significant and they helped form us. We have a catechism as well in the Episcopal Church. It's in the Book of Common Prayer. If you open it up, you'll see, not right now. If I see you opening it, though, I'll know I lost you. We have a series. It's the catechism in the Book of Common Prayer. There's questions and answers. Sort of the way that the church kind of brings forth some of the wisdom, I guess, of our ancestors, of those who come before us. As I began to grow up and live and experience life, I began to have my own questions. There weren't always clear answers. But what I did know from being formed in the way I was formed, that the answers were not just my answers, but the answers came from the community itself of which I was a part, and how important that was in seeking the answers to my questions. Some of you may have been raised in other traditions where you still were asked to memorize things. Some traditions would invite people to memorize scripture verses, to know that Romans 5, chapter 1, verse 1 says such and such. Others were helped to kind of name all the books of the Bible, Genesis, all the way to Revelation. I was never trained in that. I'd have to sit down and write them down, but I know I'd get them eventually. But that idea of memorizing, I remember as a little boy, really impacted me and those answers. Why does that come to me today? When I read this gospel reading from Matthew, it struck a chord in me. One of the questions I remember is the name of the apostles, the 12 apostles. And to this day, it's just ingrained in me. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Thomas, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, Thaddeus, and Judas. I'll say the tape just plays. It shows I'm a boomer referring to a tape, but it plays, and I remember that, those 12. And in our gospel reading today in Matthew, those 12 are named. Now, other gospel writers perhaps name different ways, different folks, but the 12 that we usually have named are the 12 we find in our gospel reading today. Scripture scholars try to point out that there were probably more than, there are more than 12 disciples of Jesus, apostles following Jesus. What Matthew's trying to do is capture this sense of the 12 tribes of Israel. If you remember in Jewish history, there were the 12 tribes. Jacob had 12 sons, we know their names, and they each were considered a tribe in Israel. And Matthew, who's kind of talking to a Jewish Christian community that is shifting into a predominantly Gentile community, he wants to connect that to the Jewish history. So there's 12 that are named that we know of. Perhaps there were others. They didn't always do a great job in following Jesus. There were those who betrayed him, those who denied him, those who did things that weren't always what Jesus was calling them to. If Jesus had put out a job description and put it out on Indeed.com, these 12 may not have been the people that would have been hired. But Jesus had a different way. Perhaps the way he would have described them would have called forth these folks. He chose people who came from different backgrounds, different traditions, some who were tied to the Roman Empire, some as tax collectors, some who were zealots wanting to rise up and oppose. He brought together a group of people that was incredibly mixed. And so today in our gospel, we see Jesus calling these 12 to go out in ministry, to go forth into ministry. And what's interesting is that in this gospel, this little piece of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says to them, it's an interesting line, go forth to all the towns and villages, but not to the Gentiles. That kind of may jump off the page, not to the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. Go to the Jewish tradition, in a sense. And we know eventually that this mission that Jesus sends forth us into, the church into, broadens beyond the Jewish tradition, goes into the Gentile world. As I always say, that's why most of us are here, unless we have a Jewish heritage. It's because of that universal sending forth that it opened up to the world. But in this particular reading, Jesus says, don't go to the Gentiles, just go to the lost sheep of Israel. Some scripture scholars suggest that Jesus was still becoming aware of what his ministry was to be about. Perhaps at this point he saw it as being to the lost sheep of Israel and eventually evolved and grew into a different understanding. Thus we know that the understanding changed. Or some suggest maybe he's just wanting to focus on this mission right now. Go to the lost sheep of Israel now. And that's who to focus on. And you get that long reading of you're going to experience rejection, you're going to be have to leave town, you're going to have danger. But he's sending them forth in mission in a particular way. And that makes a lot of sense to me as we gather this day. There are times in parish life we are a mixture of many folks across the span of experience, opinions, views. But together we seek the answers to the questions of our time, of our lives, of our society, of what's happening today. And at times we focus on some things. Notice that the mission that Jesus is talking about is not, he's not sending them forth to make converts. He's sending them forth to cure the sick, heal the wounded, free the oppressed. Walk in the midst of the world that they were in and bring a healing, loving presence. And that still is the call of us today in the mission that we do. And we focus on things. That's the ministry. Our primary ministry is not to make more Episcopalians. The ministry is to heal the sick, reach out to the poor, change the world in which we live. And others perhaps will join us in this mission, but it's the mission of Jesus that we're called to. I drove in here this morning pretty early, and today our ASP mission trip took off. And they were all here pretty early, between 6:30, 7 this morning, all gathering. Three vans of folks, mostly youth and some adults, and three vans took off to Virginia for the Appalachian Service Project. I could almost hear, as I was coming in this morning, thinking I would hear Jesus say to the names of each of those individuals, go to Virginia. Not anywhere else, go to Virginia. Go to ASP. Meet those families that you're going to get to know in the next week. Respond to their needs. Come to know them. Fix some things, of course, but build that connection. That's the mission of the church. We go to Newton Grove, to the farm worker ministry, Alice was down there a couple weeks ago visiting with the priests down there and connecting ourselves, continuing to reconnect with what we do with the farm worker ministry. There are folks this summer who will be doing the summer enrichment work with the Kirk of Kildare Church here in Kerry. We've done feeding programs. We work with Dorcas. One Wake has been working on affordable housing and listening to other needs of our community. Go and do that. We've welcomed refugee families from around this world who've come, and we've learned so much about ourselves in those relationships and in those connections that we make. Not all of us may feel called to all those things, but some of us are, and you are sent forth to do that. And sometimes we need to focus. We need to do what we need to do, like Jesus saying, go do this and focus and make a difference in this world. We try to, and there's so many other examples I could give, Meals on Wheels, and just so many ways that we reach out to this community to bring about God's loving care, to heal the sick, reach out to the oppressed, reach out to the wounded, and try to work to change this world we live in. Tomorrow we commemorate Juneteenth, which is a commemoration of something in history, but it's a call to us that the work is not done. There's so much work that still needs to be done in our country, in our communities regarding racism. And we're called to that. We work with that. Our reach beyond this community is about that. Notice that the scriptures, when Jesus is with his followers, he's always sending them out, sending them out. You rarely hear about Jesus gathered with the community, but they're always what they do out beyond the community. And we are that kind of a faith community, I believe, at St. Paul's. And so this day, as we hear those first 12, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Thomas, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, Thaddeus, and Judas. I just love being able to do that. I don't know why. It's just the thing. They were sent forth. Did they always succeed? Did they always do it the best way they could? No. They failed. They made mistakes, but they were faithful. They stayed in relationship with this Jesus who they were following and stayed in relationship with each other, believing that together they could do wonderful things and wondrous things, incredible things. And folks, here at St. Paul's, we are those people. We are the 12 today, who are called by name through baptism to do the work that Jesus calls us to do, to live the gospel. And together we can do wonderful things, wondrous things, and change this world. Let us go forth this day, called to mission by Jesus, and praying for those who right now are on their way to mission, involved in mission, perhaps not with us right now, but pray for them as they make a difference in this world. And may we all respond to that call in our ways, in the ways that each of us may feel called, whether it's through the mission and ministry of St. Paul's, or whether things you do in the community that are about that gospel. Let us lift up each other, support each other, and go forth together.